Welcome to the podcast series for AJP Heart and Circulatory Physiology. I'm your host, Kara Hansel-Kehan. Today, we'll discuss the article by Barnes et al. Titled, Age-Related Changes in Central Blood Pressures. This article published online April 13, 2012. My guests today are Editor-in-Chief Bill Stanley, first author Jill Barnes, and leading expert Judy Delp. Let's get started.
Thanks, Kara. The paper today addresses two important topics. One, the increase in arterial stiffness that you see with aging that can result in cardiac problems, renal problems, and more cardiovascular events. And also the effect of cyclooxygenase inhibition. These drugs are commonly used to treat pain, and that, of course, is greater in elderly, and they are commonly used in that population. But they're also associated with greater cardiovascular events with some of the compounds. So today's study really assesses the underlying effects of cyclooxygenase inhibitors on arterial stiffness in a young population and in older individuals. Jill, you want to give us a take-home message of your findings?
Well, we think that based on this study, a single dose of an NSAID-type pain reliever resulted in these unfavorable cardiovascular changes in the older healthy adults. But what was really interesting that this was more pronounced in the central circulation compared to the peripheral circulation. So these effects were also absent in young healthy subjects. And the findings are important because these transient increases in central systolic blood pressure or aortic wave reflection in the older adults places extra stress and work on the heart. And we estimated that this increased stress, we used wasted left ventricular energy to do this, and we found about a 61% increase in this left ventricular wasted energy in the older adults. So this was surprising because the NSAID type pain reliever was just a single dose, and we didn't expect too much of changes between the young and old. We thought there'd be similar increases in both groups, but actually no change in the young adults and a substantial increase in the older adults.
Judy, what do you think here are the strengths and weaknesses of the work?
I think that the strength of this work is the design of the study. It was performed in both younger individuals and older individuals. And I think that there are many studies where we assume that if we find something works one way in young people, we assume that we will get a similar response in older individuals. And that's not always true. And I think this study points that out very clearly. I think that a possible weakness of this study is that it focused on the central effects and, of course, the work that's placed on the heart, and that is very important to study. But I think there was evidence in this study also that part of what created that extra work was actually changes that were occurring in older people that were occurring in the periphery. And it's not that that could not be addressed, but it has not been addressed in this study as of now. But overall, I think that the basic observation from this study is very important.
So the clinical implications here are huge. Of course, the endomethacin isn't really so widely used, but of course we have aspirin and ibuprofen and naproxen and acetaminophen and on. So how do you think this could be applied to the more general clinical problem of overuse of NSAIDs or non-steroidal anti-inflammatories in the elderly?
I think what this points to is the fact that doctors have to really think about not just even a single dose, but if there's this kind of evidence that a single dose can have this kind of an effect in the elderly, for certain, you have to be very careful about how often someone is using this, because these could be the kinds of things that could over time really lead to problems, for example, for the heart, if the heart's having to work against a much greater load because of these problems with increased central arterial stiffening. And that's exacerbated by using the drug. I think it doesn't necessarily mean, as with any drug, that it can't be prescribed in the elderly. I think it just has to be taken into account that extra caution has to be exercised and that it's never perhaps as straightforward as we might consider it to be, which is, I think, very important with these drugs in particular.
Have you done any work to try to ferret out COX-1, COX-2, or done anything with the more commonly used NSAIDs or chronic treatment?
No, we haven't. This was the first kind of COX inhibition that we were planning to look at arterial stiffness and augmentation index. And the reason we kind of stumbled upon this was we knew that this drug caused changes in the cerebral circulation. Some people report that there's a reduction in cerebral blood flow velocity with this drug. And we were interested if there were other cardiovascular consequences of the drug that might be either underlying these changes in the cerebral blood flow or might be compensating for those changes in the cerebral blood flow. That's one reason we chose the endomethacin as the drug. And the plan is to kind of look at those relationships with other inhibitors such as ketorolac, or we may use we may just go back to a standard dose of ibuprofen.
Jill, your study showed these clear central changes, but as Judy brought up, there were these hints that there could be major changes in the periphery. How are you going to address that in the future, and where do we go to really take care of that issue?
We did attempt to look at the periphery using an estimate of total peripheral resistance, and we didn't see a significant increase in total peripheral resistance in the older adults when we gave them endomethacin, but there was a trend for an increase. So total peripheral resistance is just kind of the summary of the vascular resistance that's apparent in the body. And when we increase that total peripheral resistance, we would expect negative changes in arterial function and maybe an increase in blood pressure. So there was a trend for that to occur in the older adults. And so one of the things that we can also do is use our human models of forearm vascular resistance or maybe calf vascular resistance and see if those specific models are altered using endomethacin after this single dose.
To really get at that question is one that would be difficult to do in humans. What I think could be done in humans is what has been done to some extent, which is looking at local flow-induced dilation, potentially, which Mike Joyner's lab has done to some extent already, and seen that there are probably some things that are going on with the Cox system that change with age. The other thing that I wondered about that I thought might be interesting to consider would be whether any of this is centrally mediated, i.e. from something going on even at the level of the brain, and whether you could get any indication at all by measuring, say, sympathetic outflow, whether it would be to an organ or whether you would measure muscle sympathetic nerve activity. Because I do wonder whether some of this is actually centrally mediated in terms of a changed responsiveness in the presence of the drug so that you're getting more of a constrictor response, an adrenergically mediated constrictor response in the periphery, especially in skeletal muscle.
Your study population was pretty lean. You had the BMIs 25, 24 for your younger people. And of course, people who take NSAIDs often have orthopedic problems. They generally tend to be overweight or obese, particularly in the older population. Have you looked at this response in obese individuals or people who are overweight? And if not, what would you speculate on that?
So if I had to speculate on what would happen in obese subjects or someone who might be older that's not quite as healthy as the population that we found, is we would think that this effect of endomethacin on central arterial function might be more elevated, and that there would actually be an augmented response. So they would have even a higher blood pressure response or a greater impairment in central arterial function compared to these healthy older adults. And that was sort of the most surprising thing, is we wouldn't expect the effect of age to be so substantial.
Judy, what are your thoughts about this?
I agree with Jill. I would expect that if you did this in a population of aged, obese individuals, that you would see an even greater response in terms of the blood pressure response, and that, in fact, there would be an even further impairment of the ability of the older, obese individuals to appropriately sort of buffer that blood pressure increase during treatment with endomethacin or a COX inhibitor.
You know, one issue that always comes up in these kind of aging studies where you use both males and females is that the role of sex and also of menopause and hormone replacement. Have you thought of looking at that, Jill, in the future?
Well, yes, we are interested in looking at the differences between the males and females, particularly in the older group. We know that females in general have higher augmentation index, worse arterial function compared to men of the same age. And so this response might be greater in the older women in response to the endomethacin. And we are currently recruiting more subjects for this study because we did not have quite enough to look at sex differences. And that's an ongoing thing that we hope to have some results soon.
Jill, Judy, thank you for a very stimulating conversation, and we look forward to your future work. Kara?
And thanks for listening to this AJP Heart and Circ podcast.